Coming up in the next 60 minutes, former President Alberto Fujimori returns to Peru in police custody 7 years after fleeing in disgrace. Burma's detained pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi greets protesting Buddhist monks. Naomi Klein on who's to blame for the rise of disaster capitalism.
The far left has been held accountable for the crimes that were committed in the name of its purest vision, and the far right has yet to be held accountable.
First, though, our main stories in detail. You're listening to NewsHour from the BBC. I'm Julian Marshall. The Canadian-born writer Naomi Klein is best known for her book No Logo, in which she describes the economic exploitation of small communities that lose their land to big corporations. And she continues her critique of globalism with her latest epic, The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. As the title suggests, it relates the history of how she sees the American version of free market capitalism spreading in moments of crisis and catastrophe, be it the Asian tsunami or the war in Iraq, when societies are too traumatized and disoriented to challenge the introduction of radical economic policies that go against their own interests. So does Naomi Klein believe that all capitalism is bad?
The book is not an attack on all forms of capitalism. The book is about a fundamentalist strain of capitalism that has been waging war on mixed economies. It's not about the battle between communism and capitalism or even socialism and capitalism. It's about really the battle between Keynesianism, which was a mixed economy, or developmentalism in the South and developing countries, and almost a totalitarian vision of capitalism that sees absolutely no role for the state except enforcing contracts and possibly protecting borders.
And do these exponents of disaster capitalism, as you describe it, do they engineer crises, catastrophes, in order to further their principles?
Well, the crises that I'm talking about are I'm talking about natural disasters, economic meltdowns. So no, these are not crises that are being caused so that they can be exploited. But what I am describing is a state of acute intellectual disaster preparedness. And I start the book with a quote from Milton Friedman saying, "Only a crisis, actual or perceived, produces real change. When that crisis takes place, the change that occurs depends on the ideas that are lying around," which is what I mean by intellectual disaster preparedness. So, you know, I think the crises take place for complex reasons. I think Iraq was invaded for a variety of reasons, for to send a message of American power to the world after September 11th. I think Alan Greenspan has just informed us that oil might have had something to do with it. So I think there were complex reasons. But once that crisis atmosphere was created through the shock and awe invasion, it was seized upon and harnessed in a very deliberate way. And I've seen the same thing. I saw the same thing in New Orleans while the city was still flooded, where I was interviewing land developers and corporate lobbyists who were excitedly telling me that the city was now a clean sheet on which they could build their sort of Disneyland version of New Orleans. And I quote a Republican congressman saying, you know, "We couldn't clean out the housing projects, but God did."
Do the free marketeers, in your opinion, have a monopoly on this exploitation of crises, catastrophes? The Marxists, did they not do it as well?
Absolutely. And I definitely talk about that in the book. And I draw these parallels between Pol Pot's vision of year zero and this year zero mentality that we saw in Iraq of, you know, just shrugging. Stuff happens when Iraq's libraries and museums were looted, because, of course, the idea was to build a model state. And I draw connections between this fantasy that disaster zones are actually clean sheets. I quote Mao saying that the Chinese people are a blank slate on which we can draw the most beautiful picture. So I absolutely acknowledge that the far right does not have a monopoly on this. The difference is that the far left has been held accountable for the crimes that were committed in the name of its purest vision, and the far right has yet to be held accountable.
Are there no international restraints from, say, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the United Nations?
Well, the scope of this, what I'm calling the disaster capitalism complex, really dwarfs the UN. The UN budget for peacekeeping is $4.6 billion. The Homeland Security security industry now, which barely existed before September 11th, is now a $200 billion industry. And I think we see a lack of regulation in the scandal that's unfolding right now around Blackwater in Iraq. It's in this complete legal gray zone, and I don't think we see the UN jumping in. In fact, Blackwater has been one of the companies that has most aggressively been pitching itself as a peacekeeping force, an alternative peacekeeping force to replace UN peacekeepers. They've been very active saying, you know, the world isn't responding to Darfur, let us go in. They see this, they see humanitarian response as a new market.
That was Naomi Klein, author of The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism.